The Money Show.
Investment School.
Tonight's Investment School, Jimmy Moyaha, who is an independent analyst. And tonight we're looking at what is a very broad category, alternative investments. I don't know what we're including exactly. I'm thinking everything from crypto to cows to carbon credits. Couldn't think of anything else with a C. But that, I think it's a good place to start, Jimmy. Crypto to cows to carbon credits. What else is on your list?
Good evening, Bruce. Good evening to the listeners. Yeah, cannabis also has a C.
Cannabis, I mean, yep, there's a C, yeah.
There we go.
It doesn't have to be
We can go collectibles. We can go with collectibles as well. So things like NFTs and art and that sort of thing.
NFTs are not an investment class.
Well, technically, they could be one of these days. So, I mean, I guess it depends on which lens you're looking at it from. But generally, I mean, alternative investments are classed as what's known as non-traditional. So everything that we've become accustomed to being bonds and markets and currencies and those sorts of things, relative to what we're starting to see now, those are starting to become classed as traditional sorts of things. I mean, if you think of the emergence of just alternatives as a whole, and you look at the fact that we come from a time where things used to be paper traded on a dealing floor and yelled across a room, to now having AI-driven algorithms that can manage an entire portfolio for you, we're definitely progressing on the execution side of things, and it's right that we execute on we progress on the product side of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, let's move away from markets. Let's move away from products. Let's go. Let's focus in then on these alternative investments, and that may be residential property, I suppose. Wine. I mean, if I had any self discipline whatsoever, I would go and buy vintages of Canon Paul Sauer and put it away and sell it in 10 years' time and make an absolute fortune, because you know there are opportunities in that particular sector. Except there wouldn't be any wine left 10 years from now, because I'd have to sample it every year to make sure it was okay to sell 10 years from now, even though I know it would be. What are the big investment trends that we're seeing when it comes to alternative investments? I mean, cannabis and crypto certainly must be there amongst the sort of newer categories.
Yeah, so I mean, what we've seen sort of coming out of COVID and this post-COVID situation, and sort of, I guess, starting early in 2020 or so, you started to see a different type of investor emerge in the markets. We're starting to see younger investors becoming more socially conscious investors. So rather than the traditional, oh, we're going to invest in BHP Billiton because they are a mining company and they do X, Y, and Z, you've seen an emergence of investors saying, we like BHP Billiton, but how are they mining? Are they a sustainable miner? Do they care about the environment that they're mining in? So you're seeing questions being raised more now than you have seen in the past. And alongside that, you're seeing the emergence of a different kind of socially conscious investor being your activist investors. They take a slightly more aggressive approach to these sorts of things. They buy up shares and they try to force boards to make changes and that sort of thing where they don't agree. We saw the likes of Richemont coming under some activist investor threats early on, but it looks as though the group hasn't changed their viewpoint and that sort of thing. So those sorts of trends, alongside trends like decarbonization of companies and climate change goals that companies are setting, those trends are driving a different type of investor what we traditionally know and what we've traditionally seen as someone who participates in investments. And this is forcing people to not only look at that from a market perspective, but as you rightly mentioned, Bruce, look at it from alternative assets side of things to say, if I'm not playing in the market space, where can I get a return? How do I buy a property, rent it out, and get that rental return as an annual yield? And is that going to be more competitive than putting my money in a fixed deposit? Can I take a loan out from a bank, take that loan and convert that money into a business to generate income and those sorts of things? So alternative investment is quite a broad spectrum of topic at this stage, but it also has various elements of it and various reasons why people go into that.
Yeah, I like alternative investments. I like the idea of art collecting. I like the idea of wine collecting. I like the idea even of dabbling a little in crypto, perhaps in cannabis somehow, perhaps even in livestock. But I've never seen a mechanism other than doing it yourself? If you've got a piece of land and you can buy a bull and five cows, and you can start your own little herd, and you can gradually over a period of 5 years build up a herd of, you know, of 30 or 40 animals, you can then, you know, have yourself a lovely sustainable farming operation. There've been guys who've done sort of commercial farming operations and said, yes, you've got a cow, your cow is this one. But I've always felt a little bit as if it's a bit far removed, from the reality of actually managing the animals, managing the health of the animals, managing the feed of the animals, managing the sorts of returns that you can get on these things. I wonder whether or not the problem with many of these alternative investment classes is the hype cycle. You mentioned NFTs earlier. There was a time 18 months ago where you couldn't wake up in the morning without being bombarded with NFTs as this hottest new thing. And people were paying stupid money for, you know, essentially the NFT of the Mona Lisa.
The value.
Yeah. But zero value whatsoever. I can go and take the same picture of the Mona Lisa myself if I want to. Yes, it's not the NFT of the Mona Lisa, but it's the same thing essentially. And I didn't understand what that hype was about. Has there been an evolution in the NFT space, for example?
Yes. So, I mean, the NFT space is just one example of this. I mean, the reason people go into alternatives is a variety of different things. I mean, you want to get something that hedges you out against traditionals. We know that markets, in the traditional sense, have gone through some extremely volatile times. We saw in the COVID period that the oil price and oil futures crashed to a negative figure for the first time in modern day history. And so you've definitely seen that investors that look at these sorts of things are trying to invest in alternatives for various reasons. And some of them are the exact reason you mentioned, Bruce, around the hype, the fear of missing out, the FOMO, as they say. And people just pile into something, not understanding what it is, not understanding how it works, but just for the sake of not missing out on the trend. But other reasons are and probably one of the reasons that the fear of missing out is so prevalent is those that didn't get into Bitcoin when it was still at $1 or $1.
$1. Yeah.
And when it got up to $60,000 of Bitcoin, had some serious regret. So alternatives are in their nature that way. They are one, yes, a complete alternative and a complete contrast to what we traditionally know, but that too brings with it a completely new set of rules. So like this NFT example that you've used, it brings, because the market itself is new and the understanding of that market is new, it brings together a whole new set of pros and cons that you have to look at. Is this worthwhile? Are you just investing in something for the hype like the NFT thing, and then the fade wears off and nobody really cares about it anymore? Or is it a sustainable alternative investment where you are investing in a livestock fund that has a farm underpinning it, that it's structured by a financial institution that is regulated, that offers you a guaranteed return, and that return is benchmarked against other things and that sort of thing. So investment, particularly in the alternative space, you have to definitely do a lot more research and a lot more of your due diligence than what you may have done in the traditional space, because the traditional space is what's been known for the years.
You use the term regulated when it comes to these alternative investments, and I'm not too sure that too many of them are regulated in the sense that we see financial markets being regulated, currency markets being regulated. Are they? I mean, certainly maybe carbon credits are regulated. I don't know. But one's got to be careful in the use of terminology in terms of what is recognized as a sort of regulated investment class versus something that is a bit of a punt.
Absolutely. And that's where the alternatives start to stand out as well. Alongside things like regulation, you're looking at, we can take the cannabis sector as an example. You've got stocks like Clever Leaves, Green Thumb Industries, Curaleaf, Aurora Cannabis. These are U.S. listed stocks. So the company itself is involved in the cannabis industry, but you're still investing in a U.S. listed company, for example. On the local side of it, if you look at the livestock funds that I've mentioned, I mean, there's guys that are local asset managers and asset providers that have built out livestock portfolios that are structured as debentures, and these asset managers are regulated by the FSCA. But on the flip side, exactly as you mentioned about the non-regulated side of it, a piece of art that's hanging in someone's lounge might not be regulated. An NFT might not be regulated. You might find that certain carbon credits are not regulated in certain countries and that sort of thing. So again, with the alternatives, the push and pull around it is very much a personalization of investments for the person, and the use case that people go into alternatives for is that varying use case, as I mentioned. Because the other thing is, even if they are regulated, certain markets or certain products or certain instruments might not have liquidity. So they might not be as liquid as a Sasol share, for example, where you know you can at any time go sell a Sasol share. There's an order book of buy and sell orders that are in the market, and it's very easy to trade in and out of those positions.
And your money is in your bank account within a matter of days.
Absolutely. And so there might be longer lock-in periods for these alternative investments where they say the lock-in period for this particular type of investment is a minimum of 2 years, a minimum of 3 years, and you'll see your return there. And at that point, you must then assess, of course, over that three-year period, what's my drawdown going to be on my portfolio? What's my return going to be? Is that return at an annualized point going to be more beneficial than just putting the money in a fixed deposit? But in the same breath where you're assessing those risks, you need to look at the fact that there might be strategic advantages and strategic benefits, like the example that we used earlier with Bitcoin, where if you had gotten in, even if you had gotten in at $3,000 before the rally up to $60,000, you could have quite easily returned 2,000% on your funds. And so there are strategic advantages to those sorts of alternatives where you'd never see a 2,000% return on the price of gold, for example, in a matter of weeks or a matter of months.
Absolutely. It then comes down to not putting all of your rand into the same basket, not putting all of your money into crypto. Because in as much as, you know, people who bought crypto at 3,000, when it hit 60,000, were they selling? Maybe some were, but some had seen it go from 3,000 to 60,000 and went, this thing's going to 120,000. I'm a genius. And then it gets down
it gets down to
50, gets down to 40. And they think, well, it's been to 60 before. I'm going to hold on. Oh my gosh, it's at 20 again. Oh no. Then they end up sort of getting stuck within the asset class. We're talking to Jimmy Moyaha this evening. Jimmy is an independent analyst. He is taking us through the world of alternative investments. Why invest in alternatives? Well, pick up with him on that. I think it could be more interesting and a bit of fun. If you like agriculture, you might invest in a fruit farm. You might invest in a sheep farm. You might invest in cattle. You might invest in alternative meats, in carbon credits. You might invest in art. You might invest in wine. The pros of choosing alternatives, the cons, the what you need to be aware of when it comes to choosing alternatives as well, because there is no such thing as a dead certainty when it comes to the world of investing. You can even your chances of success out, but there are no absolute certainties when it comes to any investment class. So let's talk about why you would invest in alternatives, what percentage of your wealth should go into investing in alternatives, and the pros and the cons in a moment with Jimmy Moyaha.
The Money Show. Investment School.
All of the hype that comes with the new investment class, with the new investment classes, these new big ideas, sees booms and busts come and go. If you get in really, really early, you may make some money. If you're late to the party, like most people are, because most people only become aware or feel safe only once the investment, unfortunately, has peaked. We see it happen time and time again. I'm wondering, Jimmy Moyaha, how much of our money we should be putting into so-called alternative investments, because I worry that a lot of people go, oh, crypto is the new thing. Take all money out of our savings accounts, max out the bond. We got to put money into crypto. Let's ride this thing until it bleeds. Unfortunately, the only thing that bleeds is themselves generally.
If that's the philosophy, then you really should only be backing a crypto coin that you've created, that you've gotten certainty that absolutely everybody in the world is going to use. Long story short, don't put all of your money in one basket. That's never been an investment strategy that's worked, and it's certainly not going to start working when you look at alternative assets. I think alternative assets provide a strategic benefit for investors. They can be used as a hedge against your traditional investments in times of extreme volatility. So a lot of alternative assets are not directly correlated to traditional markets. And so what you find is where traditional markets are performing terribly, these alternative assets might keep your portfolio sort of balanced out at an overall level. But I wouldn't weight your entire savings plan or wealth building on alternative assets just yet. I do think there's definitely merit for them going forward and going into the future. I mean, if you take the example of use cases we've seen just in the last month, Silvergate, Silicon Valley Bank, the entire banking system in America and fractional reserve banking around the world has come into question almost overnight. And so you're seeing that what we traditionally used to know as this is what investments look like, the picture's completely changing. And that change wasn't sparked by what we saw with the run that we had through those Reddit users that were punting cryptos and punting NFTs back in the COVID pandemic.
Anything that becomes a social media hype cycle should be avoided. By the time it gets there, it's generally too late.
It's no longer an investment.
Yeah. No, then you're playing, so then you're speculating, then you're gambling on this particular one. Quickly, just a couple of pros on alternatives. I mean, it's as a hedge, as an alternative, as an interest, as a real world investment, perhaps. It provides a little bit of luster to the investment cluster.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you think about investments in whatever traditional or alternative sense, at the end of the day, it comes down to investing in a company, whether you're buying the stock for the dividend or whether you're buying the stock for capital appreciation, it comes down to the fact that you've done your research on this particular asset. You believe that there is value to be extracted, and you believe, most importantly, that the price that you pay today versus the price that you sell out at a future date, whether it's tomorrow or 5 minutes from now, is going to be a better off price in the future for you. And that's what you should look at when you look at alternatives as well, is to say, am I investing in something for now, or am I investing in it for the future? I'll give you an example using a macadamia farm. Macadamia farms do not yield fruit, or macadamia trees, rather, do not yield any nuts for, I think it's the first 4 or 5 years that they've been planted. But once they do, the offtake agreements that you get from countries like Canada and Europe, where macadamia nuts are in such high demand, mean that you can pay back your entire farm in a matter of maybe one or two years after you start harvesting.
Provided, of course, the appetite for macadamia nuts is as strong or stronger 5 years from now as it was when you planted the flippin' trees. And that's the level of faith that you've got to have in these. I mean, that macadamia and the nut phenomenon is real. But at the same time, you know, you may be thinking that, you know, you've got something unique going on, but there are farmers all over the world looking at the same trends as you and who could be flooding the market 5 years from now. There again, no certainties when it comes to any kind of investing, particularly these alternative investments. The cons of choosing the alternatives, of course, is the hype cycles, I would think. It is the, are you following a trend, or are you following something that is truly needed? Are you following something that for which there is going to be demand by the time it delivers what it is that you're looking for?
Absolutely. And there's, alongside those sorts of cons, you might be looking at things like regulation, as we spoke about earlier. Are you investing in a regulated product? Are you investing in a regulated market? Some of these alternative investments come with a degree of complexity that you have to understand. One of the questions that you posed, Bruce, at the start of this chat was around the fact that, are NFTs still relevant? And I could argue that there's a use case for NFTs to benefit the artistry space for musicians and artists in South Africa and around the world, because they get to then own their own products, and they get to then avoid not receiving royalties where they feel they are due. So there's definitely a use case for these sorts of things. But again, complexity is now, in this case, a potential negative for someone who doesn't understand these sorts of products, and they're now looking to invest in these alternatives. Whereas if you're going to invest in the traditional tried and tested APSA, Standard Bank, Nedbank, and Capitec Big Four, or Big Five rather, type of banking setups, you know what you're going to get, you know what you're investing in as a financial institution, and you know sort of what the returns are on that sort of thing. And I think what also comes added to these alternative investments is a lot of them don't have that history. So on some of these investments, you can backtest up to 30 years of market data and market performance on how these companies have performed, whereas a cannabis company could have only started 3-4 years ago, might have a market cap of 550-odd million dollars in the case of WM Technologies, for example, but might not have that track record that you can go back and see what happened in the 2008 financial crisis to this company, and so on and so forth. So definitely some cons to alternatives, but all in all, the direction that we're all heading in future is that alternative investments are going to be here to stay. Alternatives are, in the same way we once thought gold was a new age product, or investing in a derivative or a CFD was a new age product, they're here, they stayed and they're here to stay. Alternatives are not going to go anywhere. People are going to continue to have them.
Must hit stop on that particular one. Thank you, Jimmy Monyaha. Jimmy is an independent analyst and giving us plenty of food for thought this evening when it comes to the world of alternative investments.